must say, Nadis, welcome to my humble little abode. Welcome to the studio. It's awesome to have you guys here. We met just the other day at, I think it was our World Toilet Day event.
Yeah, that's correct. That's
great. We had a great chat there, and it was interesting to see the products that you guys exhibited there and how you interacted with the plumbers who attended the event. And we decided it's time for a podcast. So here we are.
100%. Willem, awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a great experience to talk with you and just see what we can produce and get out to the industry out there.
Mm, especially to our audience, our plumbers, they love seeing and hearing about the products, and especially when they can learn more details about each of the products that a manufacturer or an importer brings into the country. But listen, as a well-established manufacturer in the plumbing industry, it's exciting to see how Valser is contributing to the acceleration of either new trends or current trends. And it's also exciting to see how Valser is joining the revival of one particular, can I put it, older technology, and we're going to have a chat about that later, that is now again catching fire here in South Africa. But Valser isn't a new company. In fact, I think it was established 1987, if I'm not mistaken. About.
It's actually been in existence quite a long time, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
And then we brought it to South Africa, I want to say, just over 15 years ago.
Oh, like
we've been operating here and producing, importing all the products from Italy that's produced there to South Africa.
So Italy.
That's it. Everything is manufactured and produced in Italy. And then we have some ranges produced in China, being quality inspected in Italy and then shipped from there to us.
Awesomeness. So founded in Italy and then main manufacturing or main factory based in Italy itself.
That's it. In the province of Brescia, we have four factories. So we have the two multi-layer pipe factories doing multi-layer pipes and drainage pipes together with Fonditel, that is a sister company that's actually producing aluminium ware.
Wow.
So we are a bit of one foot in plumbing industry, one foot in the manufacturing of aluminiums. And then we have a sister company in Romania doing the BPR supply.
I'm so happy that line that you were about to say one foot here, one foot there, that you didn't say one foot in the grave.
No, luckily not. No, we are alive and thriving like never before.
That was awesome to you.
100%.
But listen, okay, so it was found in Italy and the manufacturers are there. You just said where some of the other manufacturer or the factories, I keep calling it manufacturers. But let's delve a little into I said to you guys, it's one thing to say to our audience, our plumbers, to say to them, Valser, you know, quality products for plumbing. But what kind of products does Valser manufacture, and what kind of products do you bring into South Africa, Marseille?
So I mean, Valser's got a big range of products that they actually manufacture. We only bring a handful of that into South Africa, which would then be your Rain Plus system, your HDPE, your PP3, and then as well as the multi-layer PEX pipe that people know, and the Tropia S systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I must say, when I went on to, I obviously have to do a little bit of homework before I do these podcasts, otherwise I look like a fool. So when I went onto the site and I Googled Valser, you know, and I Googled a few different things. So it would say typically Valser this, Valser that, Valser this, Valser that. So it's one thing that you say now, you know, the Rain Plus, the HDPE, but just for the sake of interest, what are those other things that you produce that you don't necessarily bring into South Africa?
So we've got sewage systems that we also manufacture. We've got the seawater, what do you call it?
The seawater treatment plants.
Yes.
Desalination.
That's it.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, MVF systems.
And that's it. And two of our latest new products that's actually still in development, and we are trying to see if there would be a footing in South Africa for that, it's heat recovery systems for eco-sustainable housing, and then a new product called the Aquanest. So it's a old concept, but a new principle that we're applying to actually do continuation tanks underground with a sustainable solution that's able to it's a modular concept. To install underground, you can do water infiltration. You can use it as a attenuation tank. You can filter it and pump it back as grey water. So there's a lot of different ways we are trying to improve the environment and improve the products that we are bringing out.
I love it when you say solution. Like, hey, we've got products.
We have a solution to your problem.
100%. We focus on
product manufacturer.
That's it.
But did you know, I want to add to this, is that do you guys realize that there's a market for the other products that you that Vels have produced or manufactures, right?
Yes, yeah, there is. I mean, there is a market for what we, the other products that we do manufacture. It's just, you know, importing from Italy. The pricing doesn't then compare to what South Africa has currently got already as well.
It's interesting, right? Because, I mean, for one, I wouldn't even think of that, you know, the importing price and that it has an effect on what you decide, what you bring in and what not. And I know for a fact that the plumbers would also not think about that. But it's interesting now that you said the desalination part, because PRB was part of discussions that were held last week in Cape Town with the city of Cape Town, where they were discussing, you know, water supply strategies, and especially to look at the sustainability of water supply in South Africa. Now, one of the things that formed part of that discussion was water desalination, or seawater desalination. So again, there's a market, especially in Cape Town.
No, it's just to get the right foot in the door to make it work. That's going to be the key.
Yeah. Look, so all the other products, I mean, what we do offer is if there's a project running and they specifically want a Valsa product on it that we don't necessarily bring into South Africa, there is an option of bringing it in to South Africa for that specific project.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so cool. We have done it in the past. So it's not that we... It's not a definite no.
We are willing to work and compromise. If the solution is definitely for the client, we can definitely work with them to source the material and get everything sorted for them.
Just to quickly go back, when you guys introduced Valsa as a company and what it does, what kind of products it manufactures and brings in for our plumbers, let's have a quick look at, because if that's one of the type of going the extra mile for your client base or for your market, then what are some of the other core values that we can look at Valsa when it comes to things like new technologies and constantly innovating new stuff? Or, I mean, I've got here, when I looked at your website, I made notes here, I said, you're constantly looking at new technologies and new development. You're constantly increasing increasingly inclusive quality of standards. Or quality standards.
That's it.
And your constant research activity, that's also one of your values. But what can you tell me about that, Nardis?
So at the end of the day, I'm going to interrupt myself. I was on a thought and then I'm changing it now. I actually had the privilege to visit our factories actually first week of October this year. And I think as we walked through the factories and seeing the scale of what Valsa is the representation in South Africa, what we see is, I want to say, not even quarter of what Valsa actually can produce and what scale they're operating at in the rest of the world. So if we look at quality assurance, we have set laboratories within the factories consistently pressurizing the systems, doing e-tests, doing mechanical strength, tensile strength tests. We, for the systems example, we have about 30 systems running on a consistent loop, doing up to a million flushes to ensure the quality of our flushing mechanisms. So it's small things like that that actually runs consistently to ensure what we produce and what meets the market at the end of the day is 100% the quality we promise as Valsa. I mean, at the end of the day, we are quality for plumbers or quality for plumbing at the end of the day. And we focus that everything we put out will be 100%. Obviously, we can't guarantee fault-free, but as close as possible.
Yeah. And I don't think that there's any manufacturer in the world that can guarantee fault-free
100%.
On all of the products. It's impossible. It's not something like that. But when it comes to warranties and guarantees, obviously your products are supported by that.
Massively. So all our products are covered with a warranty of, if I'm not mistaken, 10 years. And then we also cover a liability insurance. So if on our water supply or drainage systems, if there's something that went wrong and it's not installation fault, but a product failure, we cover up to, if I'm not mistaken, 50 million euros for your building, any damages, anything out there.
let's not talk money. that's quite a lot. So, I mean, that's for in case there's collateral damage 100%. to the building, like the ceilings or the whatever the walls and the plastering on the walls, those kind of things.
And I think that really speaks to what we put behind the name.
Yes.
If we say this thing is going to work as intended, it's
the trust that you put in your own products.
100%.
And after sales services?
So that's something we try to push as far as possible. At the end of the day, after sales service is what sells your next product.
Yeah.
If you're not going to show up for your client that's currently buying or needing support, they're not going to use you again. They might like you, but you need to make sure they continue to like you. Otherwise, you're missing the game completely. So, Marseille is part of the commercial team. I myself and one of my colleagues is part of the technical team. So during the procurement process, Marseille will walk hand in hand with you, make sure the ordering, invoicing, and whatever stock you need will go through flawlessly. And thereafter, if you do big construction sites or even smaller construction sites, me and my colleague, we will go out, we will do inspection reports, we will do snag lists if you require. So we make sure that our product is installed according to what we recommend as our standards for the optimal lifespan and the quality assurance of what we offer.
Yeah, okay. I think one thing we can also add there is we do on-site training as well. 100%. We have training on, you know, at our premises as well. That's so, because, you know, if the installer knows how to install your product correctly, it's going to save him time on-site as well.
Exactly. It reduces that risk of making a mistake on the product. And then who's liable for that at the end of the day? If something goes wrong, is it, you know, was it the installer that made a mistake or was it a product fault? And there's always a fine line between determining that and distinguishing 100%. Between whose fault is it actually now. So it's lucky to hear that you guys step up and step in and say, all right, we'll come to the site and we'll actually give you training. If that's required, then we'll come and give it, because then we assure that you put it in and you install it in the correct way.
100%. We eliminate all risk factor there.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So to speak, yeah.
Must say, you know, in the plumbing industry, and that's one thing that the PRB actively promotes and sort of encourages is seeing women in our industry. And whether that is as a plumber, as a technician, or whether it's in a sales position or whatever, but it's women in our industry. So it's lucky to have you here in the studio today. And I know that I'm going to give you the floor now, because you mentioned the range of products. And I've got it here on my list of notes that I made. It said Rain Plus, the HDPE, the PP3, and the Pixel. Do I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah. Pixel, yeah.
But I want to give you and Nutters now both the floor to tell us a little bit more about each of those, and I'm going to give you bragging spaces. Let our plumbers know what does each one of these do and what makes it so cool and special.
Okay, so I think Nutters, you start with the Rain Plus. 100%. So the reason is just it's very technical. And as he's the technical guy, he'll have all the answers for 100%. The Rain Plus system.
So Rain Plus is fundamentally a siphonic stormwater drainage solution. So what we do is we have a very specific design software that we use to design with the architects or the professional team to design, coordinate, and is exactly see how much water is being captured on a roof in a certain area and remove that without a conventional drainage. So the advantages of having a siphonic system, I want to say Rain Plus, but in essence, there's more than one siphonic system on the market currently. So the advantages we see there is a space savings, especially for the architects. They don't want pipes sticking out everywhere. So
you say the architects, but I think it's the clients that push them.
Possibly. I mean, they are the ones relaying the message.
I don't want to see this. I don't want this massive tank in the back of my yard because I want more grass or more place for my children to play. So you were saying space saving?
Space saving, just hiding the pipes. And obviously the general idea of a siphonic system is where we take the water from, we can virtually almost take it anywhere across the building without any big problems. It's going to come down to the variables of the amount of water, the height of the building, various factors, but we can practically move that water from point A to point B without taking up any much more space than, I want to say, compared to a conventional system. You have sloping, you have your gradients, you have a whole different set of things, and you drop down where you drop down. You can't do much with that.
So Rain Plus, just for clarity quickly for our audience, Rain Plus then, from what I can deduce from what you're saying, is it's specifically focusing at harvesting rainwater and distributing that either to a garden or back into your grey water system where you can flush toilets with that or whatever. Is that the purpose of Rain
Plus? That's not necessarily the sole purpose, but we actually have seen a massive increase in this rainwater harvesting and reusing that and pumping it back into the buildings as grey water, like you mentioned. The main reason is just to get a large amount of water from the roof as quickly as possible. Okay. That's the main key. But like you mentioned, harvesting, especially in today's age where the water is not always a certainty, it's been a massive increase.
So Rain Plus, is that a system that consists out of different components? Is it the tank? Is Rain Harvest the guttering? Is it the piping? Is it the pump? Or is it the complete system? Rain Plus, sorry.
100%.
Rain Plus.
So Rain Plus is a complete system in the sense of outlet to HDPE pipes and all the fittings in between. All your other connections like your gutters, your pumps, your tanks, that's done through your professional team that knows how to spec that and whatnot. We're happy to assist with them with the knowledge we get from getting the amount of water that we are draining from the roofs to assist with sizing the tank, sizing the pump, seeing what will be necessary.
Cool.
But we do from outlet to discharge point, everything in between is our baby, basically.
You know, we spoke in the beginning of the episode, we spoke about the fact is South Africa is a water scarce country.
100%.
And it's just getting worse. You know, we're receiving warnings left, right, and center about the fact that if we don't do something now, if we don't put in technologies and methods to preserve our water, water conservation is key. And if harvesting rainwater through products like what Velsa, puts on the table for the plumbers, and that's why I'm introduced Velsa as somebody who contributes to the acceleration of either current or new trends. Now, a current trend, it's specifically for the plumbers, is to catch rainwater.
100%.
You know, and they need the proper stuff to do that. Because once you catch rainwater, what do you do with it? So the product that you catch it with and that you collect it with and feed it to the tanks or whatever with plays key role in what you can do with the water once you've got it. And that trend now is catching fire in South Africa because we're a water scarce country. Plumbers, number one, they're already trusted service providers. You know, so they already have an established client base. So who better to offer this kind of product for their customers to say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Jones, you know what? I've got this product to help solve, as a solution to a greater crisis that we have in the country and to save you a little bit of water, you know, especially the water bill at the end of the day.
100%.
So it's so cool to hear that that's one of the solutions that you provide.
Yeah. And just to mention, I think after about the 2-3 years I've been with the company, we've seen a lot of Rain Plus projects going on, but the increase thereof, especially in the last, I want to say 10-12 months, has been drastical. I think with the water scarcity, like you mentioned, it's becoming a bigger concern, especially to your more commercial buildings as well.
Yes.
It's everybody is now needing a solution to get this problem solved.
But the topic of rainwater catchment and harvesting or whatever and distribution is a massive topic in the plumbing industry at the moment.
100%. Yeah.
What about the other products?
Okay, so then from the Rain Plus system, we'll move on to the HDPE. The HDPE actually goes hand in hand with Rain Plus. So that's the piping that we would use with our outlets for the Rain Plus system. So HDPE stands for polyethylene. So it's your high-density polyethylene pipe. We don't do high-pressure HDPE, only drainage. I know the plumbers get a bit confused and then sometimes phone me and I'm like, no, only drainage. What makes the HDPE pipe, I think, so I'm going to say valuable, is because of the temperatures that it can handle. So it can be from minus 40 degrees all the way up to 95 degrees. So it's a really good pipe to use under the ground for your drainage. It's also got chemical resistance. So if you flushing down chemicals to clean your floors or whatever they might be cleaning, it's not going to affect your pipe.
Oh.
Yeah. And then another good... another good selling point is also it's UV resistant. So that's why you'll normally see your HDPE pipes running down the walls outside a building.
It's something that's not usually recommended in the plumbing industry, is that don't put the plastics on the outside. And it cannot handle the UV.
It's
a big no-no. It deteriorates faster.
It does, yeah. So, I mean, that's why HDPE is a good product. And I know also in Dolomite areas, they can only use HDPE pipes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I think it's with the risk with any other system where a glue or fitting might fail compared to your HDPE where it's hard welded. There's your risk for leakages and issues on that system is much less compared to alternative systems in the market.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I say it's selling points.
So another nice thing about the HDPE pipe is also it comes in almost all your sizes that you would need or require on site. So from 32 mil all the way up to your 315 millimeters.
Sure.
So that's the size. I think you do get bigger. We just sell up to those sizes. That's what, yeah.
That's interesting. So that's HDPE.
Yes.
The next product.
So the next one would be our PP3, which is also a drainage system. The PP3 ranges from, temperatures that it can handle is from minus 10 degrees all the way up to 95 degrees. That's your polypropylene pipe.
Uh-huh.
What makes it a great product, it's a silent pipe. So if they have high-rise buildings, you know, you're not going to hear the water flowing through the pipe. So when the guy flushes toilet upstairs, you're not going to know about it. So another thing also, size-wise, is it's also available from 32 mil all the way up to, I think it's 160, all the way up to 160 millimeters in diameters. And what makes it also a great product is that it's compatible with your HDPE, your PVC. So it's for the client that doesn't want to use PVC, but for the client that also doesn't want to pay the price for HDPE.
Okay.
Would then refer to, use your PP3 pipe. So because it's a push-fit system, they're not going to use expansion sockets like they would in HDPE, although it's got your qualities, similar qualities that your HDPE has got. So also chemical resistant. Not UV resistant, but chemical resistant. And then they're going to use, let's say, the PP3 up until 160. And then when they need to use a bigger size, then they just swap over to the HDPE without any difficulties, if I can call it that. Also, you don't use any glue. You don't need electricity. So that's also a big cost-saving factor in the PP3 system.
What?
Yeah.
Holy Schnauzer. But I take it that not much pressure goes through it, but what if there is a slight pressure and if there was no plastic cement used or glue used or something like that? What happens in a case like that?
Question again?
I know that for the purposes that it is used,
yes.
There's not really much pressure through those kind of pipes.
Yes.
But what if there is slight pressure? And there's no cement or, PPC,
glue.
Plastic glue or something used.
Yeah.
Could it handle a slight type of pressure?
Yeah, it does. So similar as your HDPE, it does handle a very low pressure. I think it's 3 to 4 bar pressure that it can handle. So it's literally your normal...
Yeah.
Let's say drainage pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add on to that. I think the way we've designed the PP3, which makes it a bit more substantial in sense of when we come to the client or customer with, it's a push-fit system. You don't do anything. You don't glue it. They are extremely wary and cautious of this thing is not going to work. They do not trust us that we say it's just a little bit of lubricant and it goes hand in hand. But
that's my thought. It's my first thought.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
How do they stay together?
100%.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about the PP3 is each pipe or fitting with a push-fit socket is deep enough to act as an expansion socket in essence. So all your thermal action is taking place. So that's another advantage technically, is you don't need any expansion sockets for your PP3 system. Mm-hmm. But that allows for movement in the system as a whole. It's not an extremely rigid installation. And that paired with our bracketing recommendations, when we go out to site, we give you the guideline of how we recommend as the manufacturer how you install the system. So following the bracketing guidelines, we want to say we ensure almost 9 out of 10 times that if there is an increase in fluctuations of pressure or whatever might be going through that system, the pipe is set up at the bracket point and socket where it's actually not that capable to move around or blow out or pull out or anything of that. So again, it is a new thing for the market. They are not too keen on it at first, but the reports we've got back from clients that used it is excellent. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I mean,
excellent.
Currently it's that it's Cape Town's going wild for the product.
100%.
Sure.
Yeah. Because also, I mean, they've got the high rise buildings, you know, that you want to still put quality to the building and making silent pipes, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Don't worry. In most of our technical podcasts and our technical webinars and our technical discussions with the plumbers, we always hammer on the bracketing aspect thereof.
That's the key.
It's important.
With the additional add on to that, your training that you give to them, that's surely they should put the bracket.
Honestly.
So that was PP3, unless there was anything else about the PP3 that you would like to call out to the plumbers.
Drainage pipes aren't that exciting.
But then it was also the Pexel, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
So the market, depending on who you're speaking to, will either know it as the Pex pipe or they'll know it as the multi-layer pipe. So our pipe is Pexel PEX, which means it's made out of three layers. It's your outer layer of PEX, internal layer of aluminium, and then inside that, another layer of PEX. So what makes it a great product is that it is flexible. So the clients are automatically going to use less fittings. They can bend their 90-degree bends. And, you know, if they need to go over a trusser, they can just bend it over. They don't need to, you know, cut the pipe, solder it together, and then go next or use the T or something like that. So it's really cost saving. Also, it comes in 100-meter rolls instead of you buying 5-meter lengths at a time. So then temperatures that it can handle. Also, it's from, I think, let me just double check myself here. So another temperatures that the temperatures that it can handle is from minus 10 degrees all the way up to 95 degrees. So, you know, I've seen it used out of the geyser, which is obviously incorrect. You know, I would please ask the plumbers still 1.5 meters with your copper out of your geyser. Yeah. Just because the pipe can handle such a high temperature doesn't mean you need to install it incorrectly.
And especially the standards also would require not to use the plastics or whatever with the geysers directly.
100%.
So yes, and we also hammer on that, you know, following the requirements of the standards. But I hear what you're saying. It can handle that kind of pressure. And it's a good thing to know, because then the pipe doesn't necessarily warp if it's used for the hot water line.
Exactly.
So is it mainly then, would that be used just basically in your ceiling space from that space of the geyser onwards towards the down pipes that go down to your taps? Or can that also be installed in your cement, in your walls, in a
100%. So they can use it in the ceilings, inside the wall, and the nice thing when they do use it inside the wall, they don't need to wrap the pipe. So you can just plaster straight over it. When you do use it under the ground, then I would always recommend just lag it. You don't know if this is sharp rock or the foot traffic going over the pipe itself. It's quite versatile. It can also handle high pressures, so up to 10 bar pressure. We do have our certifications for it as well with ANOR. So it's certified as a system as well. I think that's another important thing the plumbers needs to know, that it's not certified the pipe alone and then the fittings get certified. No, it's a system that gets certified. So the plumber, it's important for the plumber, if he wants to keep his warranty, that he would need to use the fittings with the Valsa pipe as well.
Yes. and then obviously know how to crimp those fittings, because the crimping technology, that's the one technology, you know, the multi-layer piping and the crimping is the one that I said at the beginning of the episode. It's a technology that's existed since the 50s or the 60s. And it came to South Africa, I think, in the late or mid 80s, but then it fell flat. And, you know, it just sort of had a slow death here in South Africa. And it's, I think it's also because, you know, back then we used galvanized pipe. Now, how do you compare, you know, a multi-layer pipe to a galvanized pipe, and then one that you don't have to either with a thread turn it to fit onto another pipe, but you have to now do it with a crimping tool or something like that. You know, I think for our plumbers back then, it was like, no way, this cannot possibly work. But I see that that's being revived, that kind of technology, the crimping tool, the crimping fittings and the multi-layer piping is being revived in South Africa. And it's lekker to see how the different brands like Velsa is contributing to that.
Yeah. So I think also back in the days, I mean, you didn't have the theft on copper as much as what we have it today, first of all. Yeah. And then, you know, yeah, I think they also had their own, they were stuck in their ways. I mean, you've been using this product for how many years and it works and they were happy with it. But over time, I mean, let's say we now 50 years down the line, how many galvanized pipes are bursting? People are sitting without a water because water people need to go fix it. You know, so those pipes, the galvanized pipes and, you know, even the copper, it doesn't last as long as what your, let's call it plastic, your MLP pipe would last. So because the MLP pipe is smooth on the inside, it doesn't allow anything like caulk to, you know, corrosion to build up on the inside of your pipe. So that makes it automatically last a lot longer. Sure. It also can't, your galvanized rusts, the multi-layer pipe's not going to rust. So it's got a lot of good factors that I guess the older systems don't have.
Sell it, Marseille. Listen, I'd love to see some of the stuff being demoed. I always say on the podcast, it's like the Americans do a show and a tell. So let's quickly set up on that side and do a show and tell quickly. I don't know who is it going to be, you, Nudders, doing the presentation for us?
100%.
I think let's do a quick setup there and then we can return to do the closing of the episode.
100%. Perfect.
Thank you.
Cool. Nudders, so I gave you the opportunity to brag about your products.
Yes, sir.
When we sat down. So now it's time for you to show and tell. Perfect. So what have you brought to us? I see the multi-layer pipe here. I see the crimping technology, the connectors. I even see a crimping tool, but I'm going to give the floor to you.
100%. Thank you very much. So I actually just brought all our tools, the available tools that we actually have on the market for this installation to be done flawlessly without anything extra needed. So we have the manual crimper. This is all the way from 16 to 32 mil. With the jaw inserts that you can take out. I'll demonstrate now. Then we have our electric crimper, also compatible with different manufacturers' jaws as well. We have our own jaws. This is the Velsa machine, so this is compatible all the way from 16 up to 75 mil electric crimping. So this makes the life so much easier. Sure. If you don't have the will to do manual crimping, it is quite sometimes intensive in my opinion, but the people out there suppose would be also stronger than me, so rather than me. Then we have the multi-layer pipe cutter, just a few of our fittings to demonstrate, and then the pipe reamer.
Okay.
So we follow a basic three-step process when we come to doing fitting installation. So firstly, the pipe, obviously it's a very small diameter. This is the 16 mil multi-layer pixel pipe. So we can use the bending spring. So this is used to bend the pipe without actually having any kinks in it. Let me actually just straighten it out a bit here. So this makes everything a bit easier. So when you manually crimp everything, everything, there is the odd chance that you might introduce a kink to the pipe.
Yes, so you want to cause a leak.
That's it. Yeah. So you want to keep this pipe as smooth as possible on all its dimensions. So this is exactly what the spring helps you to do. It bends it. It bends it a bit. It helps you to get a perfect 90-degree angle obviously long range. You're not going to get a compact 90 degree bend without a fitting.
Yeah.
But that is the main key behind the spring. So we have the external and internal diameter springs. So either way, whichever you prefer, that's what we recommend. So if you have your piece of pipe, we will just cut it. You want to use a proper pipe cutter. Mm. We don't recommend using axles or anything like that, causing sharp edges along the pipe. That's, we'll talk about the fitting now, but that introduces some problems with the O-rings and whatnot. So if we actually just insert that, and this cuts quite easily through everything, you can see that it's quite a flush pipe. But as we cut it, it still has
a sharp ridge there.
And it's flattened a bit. So that sometimes it happens on site. We can't really avoid that as much. So that's where the reaming tool comes in, serving a dual function. So we have this long piece of pipe or plastic that as you insert that, that will straighten out your pipe on the inside and with the two blades on either side to bevel the pipe properly. So as you see, it's completely smooth now, and our pipe is straightened. Compared to where we cut it with that flat edge, we have a completely round circumference there. So if we actually just take this union. So just to quickly discuss about the fitting. So this is our unique brace range. Mm-hmm. This is our DZR brass, specifically made for the South African market. We have the PPSU fittings, the normal brass fittings, but our requirements are DZR. Mm-hmm. We need to have a DZR brass fitting. So we have these actually specially made for the South African market.
Oh, wow.
Our fittings are the only ones with the red collar, so that's how you can know it's a Volza brand. And all the markings are on the fitting as well. Volza SA, 16x2, and all your information is on there.
I know that from previous conversations I've had about these kind of fittings and the crimping technology is that the markings indicates which tool to use, and that's quite important that you use the correct tool, the correct jaw.
100%.
According to the markings, is that correct?
That's correct. So we, for all our fittings, we use a U-profile on the crimping. That's purely due to the design of our O-rings. So you have a crimp before the O-ring, in between, and after.
Mm-hmm.
So if you crimp onto that O-ring, you might see potential leakages, potential problems in the future. So after you beveled, it's quite simple. You just insert your pipe. It goes in quite smoothly. And we have inspection holes along the perimeter of the fitting to make sure your pipe is fully inserted. Mm. That's to make sure everything is perfect. And just a worthwhile note as well, if I take this on, we can see a small bevel on our sleeve here. So that whenever you insert the pipe, this is actually now just for demonstration, our sleeve won't slide all the way down.
Yes.
So as you inserted it, the sleeves, if some manufacturers, it slides all the way down, then you lose your sleeve. The possibility exists that the sleeve slips down further than where you actually need to crimp, and that's potential problems as well.
Yes.
So that's something we focus on to ensure that when the fitting is installed, it's as straightforward as possible. Mm. Not much can go wrong when you cut, bevel, insert.
Ease of installation.
That's it, 100%.
Yeah. Just a quick question now. So if the plumber is or the installer is planning out the outlay of the system and they have to calculate lengths, what length should they include for the piece that inserts into the fitting? That looks like about 2 centimeters.
I want to say about 2 centimeters per fitting, but again, that's going to vary widely on the installation. You'll get some installers that are very stuck to their old, I want to say, copper ways, and they install a 90 with every bend, where some people do manual bends. So the amount of pipe that you will need really depends on the way you approach your job and how you install. What we can do is, from the technical side, from our offices, we do estimate bill of materials. So we have a design program that is actually designed in Italy. We can do that. If you send us through your plans, we can do a very estimate bill of materials on any product we produce. So that will be from the multi-layer HEP, PP3,
awesome.
Whatever you need, we can produce 2D layouts, 3D layouts, and give you an estimate from
that's
that.
Very cool.
That helps us have time saving, and just to give you a very good idea. When the installer goes to price on this, this is what it's going to look at more or less.
I mean, if you do the manual bend, obviously that takes more length of pipe
100%.
Than when you do a 90 degree
100%.
Elbow connector.
More pipe, less fittings, more pipe. It really can go both ways as they go about it. If you don't mind grabbing that. So this is the manual crimper. So currently we have the 16 mil jaws inserted here. I'm actually just going to remove this one. There we go. So as you can see, these are the U-profile jaws. So we have 1, 2, 3 lines. That's going to sit, as I mentioned earlier, all across, but not on top of the O-rings. And then different manufacturers have different specs on what their profiles are. All these jaws are interchangeable. So with this kit, you get the 16, 20, 25, and I think the 26, but we do not spec a 26 mil pipe. That's not really something we focus on. And then you also get a smaller tool, I believe that's the 16, 20, and 25. That's everything gets included in your kit. It comes with a reamer, if I'm not mistaken. And it's quite a simple.
These tools are Velzer branded. I mean, the crimping tool here, the mechanical one or the electronic one.
That's it.
Is it hydraulic? I guess the inside has got hydraulics on the inside, but let's call it an electronic tool.
That's it.
And it's a Velzer branded tool.
So in Europe, we actually have Velzer branded manual crimpers as well, but it's not worthwhile, especially with the shipping prices, to bring all of them here. Yeah. So we sell, I believe these are more generic type, but all these tools are Velzer made. These cutters, again, generic, but it's a Velzer branded tool at the end of the day.
Something else that you wanted to quickly tell us about making sure that you crimp correctly so that there aren't any leaks. And then that fine line when I spoke when we sat down, that fine line between if something goes wrong, was it the installer or
100%.
Was it the techniques that they used to crimp that was wrong or didn't they push the pipe in deep enough or something like that? Any kind of information like that you want to share with our audience?
At the end of the day, I think if you follow the three steps that I've just mentioned, there's not really much that can go wrong. Mm. If something goes wrong and let's say the beveling wasn't done accurately and you damaged the O-ring, it's a different, like you say, it's a very fine line for us to say this is an installation problem, this is a product malfunction. We need to do a full quality inspection to see how many items on your site actually saw the same problem, how the reoccurrence, let's put it like that, the reoccurrence of the same problem. If it was one fitting, we can say, okay, 10-1, it's going to lean more towards an installation problem. Let's say a whole box of fittings failed, then, okay, it's definitely possibly a manufacturing problem. Yeah. So we look at the different variables. We try to be as reasonable, but also just in when we make the decisions.
Okay. So, any specific way that they need to put the jaw on in order to clamp it correctly or in order to crimp it correctly?
Actually, just hold that for me. So if you insert the jaw, you want that red bevel to be just on top, or I want to say almost flush to your jaw, as you see there. That means your levels is going to be exactly, your indents is going to sit exactly where you need them
to sit.
Where
the O-rings are on the 100%. Inside. Okay.
So if we go through...
Exactly.
You
did it.
That's why I prefer that one. So you press it all the way through and then we release it all the way through. And there you can see a complete crimp there.
Wow. Very cool. I see all the indentations there.
That's it. So that's something to take note of on these manual crimpers. Wear and tear is a thing. Mm. These tools they can last you forever if you maintain them as with anything else. So you can see these two little nodges here. They are to tension your tool.
Right, so.
As soon as you push your crimp and you see, okay, this crimp isn't as deep as the previous or the first ones was, then it's time to retension.
Okay.
You can do this by actually just using your screws here, and then you will tension one side at a time. You don't need to actually tension both sides. So you tension one time until your, the play on your jaws is about the thickness of a paper
piece.
Okay.
So that's how you know everything is within spec. And as soon as you don't feel the tension like you used to, you need to go by feel. Unfortunately, there's no real metric to measure it. Then you can readjust your tool there.
Neil, this baby?
All right. So that's quite a hefty little...
Yeah, it looks like a some kind of futuristic space laser gun or something 100%. Like that. You know, the other tools that I've seen before didn't have the handle, the grip here.
Okay.
It only had, you know, you held it like that.
Yeah, a lot.
About this, the grip here. So that's quite interesting to see this.
100%. I think it just goes to the ergonomics at the end of the day for the instant, the guy using it to not get as much fatigue. The more convenient the tool is to use, the better it will go at the end of the day. So this works in a very similar way with tension on the jaw to do the crimp. So let's actually do another one. So again, you can see the flat bottom side, very sharp edge. Press it in and do the beveling. So if you would like to do the honors, I think you're more than welcome to.
You do realize I'm no plumber, eh?
Well, that makes two of us, but yet here we are. So I will hold the fitting for you.
Right.
So what you'll do is you're going to manually press down on the jaws like this to open it up. We're going to, again, ensure that that red bevel is flush to the jaw, and then you're going to let it go, and then you're going to hold the trigger until it pushes all the way through.
Is it switched on?
Yes.
All right.
It retracts, and your crimp is done.
All right, sir. How many seconds was that?
Minimum.
You know what? I keep, every time I speak of this technology, and like I said, this is not a new technology, the crimping and the multi-layer piping. It's just something that's being revived in South Africa now, and it's catching fire now because... You know, more and more plumbers are realizing, you know, it's some would say, you know, but the fittings cost more than your, you know, your copper fittings and those kind of things. But just think about the time. I just did that in about 3 seconds per fitting.
It's...
Now think about the number of jobs you can fit in and the number of units. Let's say you're doing a massive townhouse complex with, you know, the number of plumbing systems that you need to fit in that roof.
That's it.
I mean, per fitting, 3 seconds. That's... Whereas if you had to solder that or glue that together or whatever the case may be, the time that you save and then the number of jobs that you can move on to and fit into your day. I mean, this kind of technology, I think within 5 years we're going to see a drastic change and a more
100%.
Leading more towards that than the others. That's just my personal opinion.
I tend to agree with you. I think the way, even if you just look at the manual crimping, it's still much quicker than soldering, trying to get everything sorted and flexing. And I don't know, I'm not very technically knowledgeable about the process, but I'm pretty sure this will win every day.
We don't throw that away completely. We're not 100%. Saying that that's not necessary because in some instances it may have its purpose and there may be a need and a requirement for it. But the fact is that the just the time, purely the convenience,
that's it.
And the time.
There we go.
Munir, I want to thank you. Is there anything else that you wanted to thank just before we go sit down again?
No. If there's no other questions, I think, then we'll sort it, yeah.
No, this, thanks a stack. I love showing this to the plumbers.
I appreciate it. Thank
awesome.
You very much.
Let's go close this episode. Okay, listen, that was awesome. Thanks for that. I always say that the lies... great value in actually seeing a product. And then while it's almost like the exhibition that you guys did here at our World Toilet Day event, where the plumbers could actually walk up to your stall that you had and they could actually see the stuff. That's, it would even be better if they could hold it in their hands and see what it does and looks like and feels like. But the next best thing, obviously, is to have it on camera like we did right now, Nader. So thanks, Astek, for that.
100%.
So I want to close this episode off by asking just, so we know now what your range of products are, and we know that you've got behind the scenes quite a few other products that you can also bring into the country, which is good to know. But for the plumbers who are not interested in getting some of your products, buying it for their projects and their work, which stores, where can they get Valser products?
So obviously, depending on which area they're from, but majority of the merchants. So from Alert, from Plumlink, House of Plumbing, you know, Jody, Plumgo. And then if they're in the West Rand side, then, you know, Arrow. So, yeah, there's so many, you know, but
nationwide, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. So nationwide, so even Mpumalanga, Polokwane, Kimberley, Cape Town.
So it's your big retailers, your chain stores, your big chain stores and the big branded and your more local independent stores as well.
100%.
You service the local independent stores as well.
Yes, we do. Look, if a plumber's a plumber's confused, he's in the area, he doesn't know where to go, they're more than welcome to just give us a call, and then we can always direct them to the closest merchants that's around them, and then they can just pick on which one they want to go to as well.
Awesome. But then one last question. You said that you're more than willing to at times, and we're capable to do so. I mean, you know, circumstances don't always allow for you guys to travel to a site, but if it's in a vicinity that you can reach it, you're willing to give that kind of service of going to site and giving training to our installers there. But do you do the same for the shop attendants, those who work in your retail stores and your merchants?
Yes, we do. So at the merchants itself, I do weekly demo days. Mm-hmm. So we always make sure we kind of, you know, hit, I wouldn't say all of them, but majority of the merchants that we can throughout the entire year. It's just also, you know, creates visibility and presence. And then when we do the demo days, we give training to the actual salespeople. I think it's important for the sales team to actually, you know, also be knowledgeable about the product that they're selling. So it makes the plumber's life actually easier, if I can put it that way.
You said quickly to contact you. Where can they get your contact details, like email addresses and telephone numbers, the website?
Yes. So if they just actually Google Valsa SA, then Google Maps will probably even pop up and tell you where we are.
So it's worthwhile to note the current website running is the Italian website. That's our main website online. So if they Google Valsa SA to use the address or contact number there, so they can phone the Johannesburg branch or the Cape Town branch, wherever they're located, ask to speak with either me or Say, and we will share the numbers and addresses accordingly as required.
Awesomeness. It was awesome to have you guys in studio. It was awesome to meet you the other day. And I'm very, very happy that you guys agreed to come and do a podcast with us. And thanks for the show and tell. Thanks for giving us a little bit more insight onto Valsa as a company and your range of products.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was an absolute awesome time.
We said that we're going to do a follow-up. So
let's go for it.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye.